And do you feel a responsibility as a CDC director to correct a very big mischaracterization by one of the Supreme Court justices?
Yeah, here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that right now, if you're unvaccinated, you're 17 times more likely to be in the hospital and 20 times more likely to die than if you're boosted. And so what my responsibility is to provide guidance and recommendations to protect the American people. Those recommendations strongly recommend vaccination for our children above the age of 5 and boosting for everyone above the age of 18 if they're eligible.
I'm going to call shenanigans. I'm an expert now, having had the woo flu. I am an expert now, and I identify as a doctor, so we're going to call me that forever. I'm not even messing with you. I am Dr. Dana from here on out. All right. This is the way it is. Dr. Lash, just call me that. Dr. Lash.
Paging Dr. Lash.
Hi, it's Monday. I'm on steroids. Yay! I'm not contagious anymore. Welcome to the show, DanaLash.com. If you're just joining us, you know that I had what we would call... I can call whatever the hell I want to. And if you have a problem with it, you're sexist, right? I feel like that's really what... ultimately where we're going. Kane and Juan are back in studio because I kept them out as a courtesy. Although Kane really wanted to come and get it.
I did. Thank you, doctor.
You were like acting like this was a chicken pox party. COVID.
I literally didn't care. I was like, come on. Seriously, you're going to keep us out of studio? You're going to do the show? You're
Before
gonna keep
Kane
us out of
came in today, how much do you all want to bet that he bathed in probiotics, rolled in crystals, and then covered himself with essential oils?
Crystals?
I'm just saying.
Essential
I just
oils.
Added that for fun. Yeah.
No. Maybe a little tea tree oil.
Oh, for the... Okay, what do you think that is? You just literally are what I just
is
made fun of.
Is that an essential
of.
Oil?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I have some soap. It's tea tree soap.
Oh my gosh. So we're all back in. You guys sound nice and healthy. You'll hear me sniffle a little bit. I'm not contagious at all. I've had this even before the Rona. It's been like 12 days now. So I think we're good. But we're going to get into all of that, including the PCR and the antigen test and all of that stuff, because nobody cares. It's a glorified cold. It really is. The aches and chills, I told you about that. But otherwise, and that really, I mean, I've had colds where I've had that too. It's a cold. It is a cold. So we've got a lot to discuss. Now, the audio that you just heard, let me come to this real quick. So the audio that you just heard that's the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, who she's kind of, we got to get into with or from whole definition that the CDC is trying to do. Because now what they're saying is that they can't actually tell how many of the COVID fatalities were with that just like had the Rona or are from the Rona. Oh my hell. We're not even like a couple minutes into the show and I already feel like we need to all pause and just chill for a second, because that seems like that's significant. That's like saying, well, we cannot tell if they died from a vehicle or with a vehicle. Like if you're in an automobile accident. That's kind of significant, isn't it? So I'm watching all of this. She was saying, well, the overwhelming number of deaths, she said over 75% occurred in people who had at least 4 comorbidities. She said that. And then this came up in the Supreme Court back and forth that we were talking about last week, because you had Sonia Sotomayor, who was trying to say 11,000 children world, all the America's children's are dying. That's what she was saying, ultimately, that everybody had all the children's in the world in America's had the Rona and were the deads. That's what she was saying. It was a direct quote. Did you know that? It was totally direct. And that was wildly inaccurate. Shocking. It was wildly inaccurate. And so it just seems, and even Washington Post fact checked Saint Sotomayor. Over 100,000 children are on the ventilators. You know how they made fun of Trump for saying stuff? Can we do that with her? because what she said was stupid and not even right. Who was the other one? Was it Breyer who was like, pretty much everybody in the United States just got coronavirus two times right now? Let's flashback. This is Sotomayor's. This was her soundbite. Listen.
We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
They're not, though. All your children's is dead. They're not, though. Oh, I'm going to be a complete smartass about this. Sidebar, if you hear me nay, it's just because I had the ivermectin, right? We were told that, correct? That's what, it's the side effect of the ivermectin. She's a horsey wormer. Horses also drink water. That means you're also a horse. And guess what? Are you wearing shoes? Horses also wear shoes. Dun, dun, dun. That means you're a horse. This is science. Sidebar to my sidebar. Please tell me that you saw the clip of Al Sharpton circulating on the internet. So he is on, he's on MSNBC. I actually retweeted this. I'm obsessed with this right now. He's wearing a headband and fingerless gloves. Like while he's doing his TV hits. Now, before you hate, we're going to back to the meat and taters in a second. Before you hate, this is the man who popularized the velour tracksuit before suburban moms in the early aughts. Remember when every 50-year-old suburban mom at the malls in the early aughts had juicy written on her butt? Remember that? You don't, because I died 1,000 times. I remember it. I'm like, why would they have that? I just don't like writing on the hind ends. It's stupid. Anyway, long story short, maybe he's trying to make fashion again. Before you hate, appreciate. Just saying. Now back to our regularly scheduled programming. Yay. So it is true, though. That's science. Science says if you have anything that an animal has, you are that animal. That includes sunshine, air, and water. And also, what else? Oh, if it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated still, except not. It's not, though. So AOC... We're going to talk about the Sotomayor thing still because that we'll get to the Washington Post fact check. She tested positive for COVID after a maskless trip to Florida. And I was reliably informed that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And the Supreme Court Justice, Saint Sotomayor, said that all the children's in America are on the dead's ventilator. So I don't know what to believe anymore. And if you drink water, you're a horse or something, right? So, she was at a Miami bar, remember this last week, because she was like, everybody's talking about my boyfriend wants to date me, which is not true. It's just, he has gross feet. I want to go on a sidebar rant about open-toed shoes on men so bad, and I'm resisting with everything I got right now. That just, so you can tell I'm recovering, kind of. I'm going to fail here in a moment. But she was in Florida. Nothing on her face, you know, because apparently that's like a big bad thing to not have your face panties on. And she was drinking, it looked like some fruity martini. She was having her martini, living her best life in beautiful Florida, right? Having a grand old time, which apparently that's where I think I'm going to be vacationing this summer again. Going back to Florida, because I love you damn people down there. You guys don't care. So... I was shocked because I'm like, I thought they hated Florida and I thought they hated Ron DeSantis. They hated so much they had to go there, guys. They had to go there and vacation in Florida. It is beautiful there and they have the sun. I mean, it's almost, you know, you can almost look past the Gators. But that's, so now she has it. And she was like, she was double vaxxed and triple boosted. Everyone's like, are you boosted? I had two friends. I don't want to name any names because I do like them, but I just, and they can make fun of me all they want. I'm sure they do, but I have to mock this. Can we just stop saying it like it's a thing that you go do? I totally went and got boosted. What? Did you get boosted? I think we got boosted at the same time. oh my gosh, you got boosted. I got boosted. Everybody talks like this now. Have you noticed this? I have two friends. One is kind of in the middle, but her husband super left, so she believes whatever he believes. And the other one's totally on the left. And they were both saying, I went and got boosted, because they take selfies while they're getting boosted. That's so, so Freudian. We need to toxify that term, by the way. That's my goal this week, is to toxify that and make it to where you're going to cringe every time you say it. But they posted photos of themselves, selfies, while they were getting boosted on Facebook. And then my one friend says to the other friend, oh my gosh, were you at the supermarket getting boosted? I was at the supermarket getting boosted. We were there almost at the same time getting boosted. That's like their conversation. Oh my gosh. That was like, it was like an 8-comment thread that they had where they were just talking about the mysteries of the universe, how they almost saw each other at the supermarket getting boosted. It's a whole thing now. Guess who got boosted? And then like they changed their Facebook photo to something where it's like the, what is it? What do they call those things? They're avatars, but it's the frame around it. I got my booster. And then the other one said, I got boosted. And I literally, they deleted my comment. Because I commented, is this a sex joke? And they did not like that. Hi, I'm your inappropriate friend. Bring me to your parties. So, I got boosted. And I was like, so I saw that they had deleted that. I was like, is this a sex joke? And then they didn't like that. And so then I came back and said, well, I got the woo flu. I wasn't boosted, but it was also a glorified cold that was deleted too. So it's okay. But have you seen people saying that? Yeah. I was boosted. I can't believe that that's not a skit on SNL. If they were really funny, they would be making fun of this. It's like the new oxygen bar, right? What are you doing today? Well, I'm going to go get some lady bleaching done, and then I'm going to get boosted. Your first thought was lady bleaching? Don't ask. Your second thought is boosted, like, I'm boosted. It's like Ralph on The Simpsons. Oh my gosh, that's a verbal typo that stays. It's like Ralph on The Simpsons. I'm boosted. I'm helping. That's what it is. Wait, you're telling me that the vaccine doesn't really limit the transmission of the virus? That's correct. But you want to make it mandatory anyway. Yes. And you want to make it mandatory and you want to get it boost? You want us to be boosted mandatory too? Yes. Isn't that like having intercourse with a broken condom?
Oh. All right. Give me a break. Give me a break, please.
I'm just asking. I wish you all could see Kane's face.
It's the ivermectin, right now. It's the ivermectin kicking in.
I'm asking a scientific question.
Science, I'm sure, but yeah.
What did I tell you? Hey, I'm your inappropriate friend. Invite me to all your parties. It's a legitimate question.
Dr. Dana, we need to break.
Dr. Lash, thank you, sir. Gosh, I just made all of them die and it was worth it. People make a big deal out of New Year's resolutions, but I want you to commit to one today. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track, like supporting causes and companies that share our values. So, of course, you know, I'm proud to work with my friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage, and in fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the same great nationwide coverage. Plus, you get peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the progressive left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veterans and first responders, and more. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Gosh, we have so much more room for activities in this next segment because I realized I only got to a third of our content in the first segment. All right, so this sounds scary. Coast Guard had to rescue a whole bunch of fishermen, 34. They got stranded on the ice and they were floating out to sea after a giant chunk broke off from the Green Bay shoreline. 34 people were rescued from a floating chunk of ice. That's a horror movie. It broke away from the Green Bay shoreline. Brown County Sheriff's Office said it floated about 3/4 of a mile out to sea. Oh my gosh. Or at least away from shore during the rescue, not necessarily sea. They said that cracking, rapidly deteriorating, open water was just, they were not having a fun time. And they were rescued. So thank heavens for that. You gotta be careful up there on those ice floes. Nowhere to go. All right. So let's see. The baby that was handed to a soldier during the Afghanistan evacuation has been reunited with the family. I was confused because I thought that already happened. But I guess no. The baby was 2 months old, was found in Kabul under the care of the 29-year-old taxi driver. This is a different baby. He found the infant on the floor of the airport, decided to raise him after not being able to find his parents. But they were able to reunite him with his mom and dad. That's insane. That's crazy. I thought that baby had been reunited already, but apparently not. That's kind of good. Well, I'm glad that there were good people that were there to watch over that baby. Also, this is so sad. This was a shock. Last night, it was reported Bob Saget. I know, Danny Tanner himself, 65 years of age, passed away. So far, they say that it was natural causes. They said that there was no signs of drug use or foul play. It was the Orange County Sheriff's Office. He was in Orlando. He had just done a stand-up show, and he was in his Ritz-Carlton hotel room in Orlando when he passed away last night. 65 years of age. Thanks for the laughs, Bob Saget. This is so sad. Stick with us, because when are you negative and positive for the Rona? Ooh. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least 4 comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with. And yes, really encouraging news in the context of Omicron. This means not only just to get your primary series, but to get your booster series. And yes, we're really encouraged by these results.
Have you been BizStud? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, DanaLash.com. I missed you guys. Yeah, I'm on a little bit of prednisone today, just for the sinuses. I had ivermectin, so, you know, this is what it was. Welcome back. That was CDC's Rochelle Walensky. So that seems like that was kind of important, right?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I thought we were all going to die, though. Remember? And then now it's, well, over 75% had at least like one of 4 comorbidities. Or they all had 4 comorbidities. Yeah, that seems pretty significant, because we were told if you even like cough slightly, you'll die with the Rona. This was such gaslighting. But you know what? I'm going back and forth, because I feel like they're finally admitting that it's A, endemic, and B, it is that the afflicted were those who had serious health issues. And so is this the end of it? Is this the beginning of the end? I had there was a piece, let me pull this up, that I had. It was over at, I believe it was at Forbes, that was asking that question. You know, are we finally, is this the beginning of the end? Because it's the Omicron. And it's because it's so mild, is this, you know, essentially, does this mean that we're going to, well, how can we have these mandates? That's the million-dollar question. How can you continue to push the mandates when it's endemic and it's mild, and this idea that we were ever going to be able to eradicate it in the first place was stupid. You can't. You just can't. And so the whole point, I mean, this is, the CDC is confirming what we've all been talking about for over two years. Since the beginning of this, the whole accuracy, excuse me, of the death of the fatality numbers, all the accuracy of it, because people were trying to figure out, well, whose fatality, who died from the virus, and who actually, it was something else, but they just happened to have the virus when they passed. That's significant. And so there were so many examples who were incorrectly, and by so many examples, I mean, I have, Red State has a tally. Like, for instance, in Minnesota, they said the fatalities were so inflated. They said 40% didn't even have coronavirus as their cause of death. They were people that had another issue, and when they passed away, then it was their deaths were listed as from coronavirus, and that they didn't even have it, or they had it, but that wasn't what caused them to die. And they actually had to come out and explain this. They said that 40% did not have, that coronavirus was not their underlying cause of death. That wasn't the only place that this happened. And that's not, there were people, I remember I was on television and someone, because we were discussing this, and someone on the left, I forget, they wrote a piece because they were mad at me over how I was talking about it. And they were saying that it was petty wordplay. This is not petty wordplay. This is incredibly significant, because you're talking about what is and what isn't the actual cause of death. And what was something, there's clearly a difference between having a fatality due to coronavirus and then having a fatality due to the presence of a number of comorbidities that maybe were exacerbated by the presence of the virus. Maybe the virus was that served as the catalyst, but it wasn't the reason. We had a very dear friend whose parent had passed away. This parent, though, had had 3 heart attacks, had had a triple bypass before, had had a stroke that ended up being partially paralyzed as a result, had another mini stroke, and then was one of the first fatalities in the first wave because they had home health care. And they were living with my friend, and the parent had a home health care nurse come in, and that's how the parent ended up getting it. And then the parent passed away, and they were trying to list the cause of death as being specifically from the virus, even though they had 6 different comorbidities, hypertension, they had, pulmonary, all kinds of craziness. And the fact that this parent was still living was a miracle. So there's a difference between having the virus at time of death and then having the virus cause your death. There's a difference. So it's not just petty wordplay. This is not a game of semantics. This is a game of science and medicine. It's not even a game. It's just facts. It's science and medicine. And whenever it was discussed, you know, previously, everyone was called, people were called all kinds of names. They were conspiracy theorists. How could you engage? It's heartless to engage in this kind of discussion. Friendships have ended over this stuff. And as it turns out, all the people who were asking these questions and having these conversations, we were all correct to ask them. It's just that now you have the CDC acknowledging what everybody's been saying this entire time. Well, yeah. Now, this is what ruins trust in these institutions. It ruins trust in these institutions. It's not petty wordplay. Yeah, now they have flu rona, which is stupid and not a real thing. You can have the presence of a virus, of two different viruses at the same time. Now, here's something else that's interesting. I saw this over at the Epoch Times. More good news on ivermectin. Nay, I had ivermectin, so. Every now and then there's like a side effect to it. They're like, this is worm medication for the horses. Actually, I thought it was great in reducing my symptoms. That's what it, no one ever says it's a cure for the virus. It's stupid. There's no cure for any virus. It's a way to alleviate your symptoms. Herp, herp. We talked about this last week. So we've talked to Dr. Tess Lori about this as well. She's going to be rejoining us here soon. She's done a lot of work with ivermectin. All I know is that when I started taking it, I went from one day having the aches and the chills, and then the next day it was like, oh, it's a mild cold. I can deal with this. I mean, it was a mild cold with the aches and chills anyway. I've had the flu before. That was way worse. Oh my gosh, it was way worse. Flu is way worse. But it's about, but you got to do it early. Because the early days of the virus, it's a hyper-inflammatory response. And that's why your body aches and all this stuff. That's what it's for. It helps with that. And it's a great way to control those symptoms so that you can rest, right? And recover. So there was another a one-page summary that was done with this. Let me bring this story back up. So there was another study that was done, and it was also looked at. Dr. Tesler has been looking at this new study, and it's a consensus that, yes, it actually is incredibly helpful when you are talking about the reduction in control of symptoms. That's huge. Why can't we have these conversations? Just doesn't make any sense. I want to remind everybody, too, with all of this, because we keep hearing the pandemic of the unvaccinated. I wanted to, there was a, specifically, they said that, and this is from the CDC's website, that you can actually still, it doesn't stop transmission, the vaccines. I'm looking at their December 20th, 2021 CDC.gov website, Omicron variant, what you need to know. It's from their website.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
Yeah, as the CDC director right there says. So why are we making it mandatory? Why are we not instead looking at ways to mitigate either spread or any kind of severe symptom? Why are we mandating the vaccines? I had to cancel my summer vacation because my destination, we always go to like Turks and Caicos. I love Turks and Caicos. We go diving there. We fish. It's basically what we do. And they don't recognize natural immunity. I have natural immunity. I've had it. I tested positive repeatedly. I have it. Had it. Recovered. It doesn't matter. For the first time in the history of science in the world, you getting over something now doesn't mean that you're immune to it. This is how bad big government has gotten. You can't even become immune to something yourself. You have to have the government do it for you. That's where we're at. Oh no, your own body's immune system doesn't count. It has to be a solution that was made by the government and administered to you. That's the only way. So we had to cancel. And I booked 5 years in advance. So I canceled everything. Yeah, I will not be going there for the foreseeable future. It sucks, but I already have immunity. So I'm not going to, why would I go and do that? And they even said they don't accept antibody tests. Not only do you have to be fully vaccinated, meaning all the shots and boosters, but you also have to test negative. What the hell is the point of that? Weren't you all told, hey, if you get your shots, you don't have to go through all that crap anymore? Wow, you were bait and switched, weren't you? Were you boosted? I was boosted. I got boosted. It's totally a sex joke. It really is. It's ridiculous. That language needs to be, it's so stupid. Stop it. But it's a legitimate point. All right, so coming up, Biden economy. So a couple of things. The Biden White House, the left is mad because Bear Shelves Biden trended over the weekend. And would-be buyers are absolutely aghast at what inflation has done to used car prices. We've got a lot of stuff to get into still. Additionally, got some media headlines for you, good and bad. WAPO gave the Supreme Court justice four Pinocchios for lying about all the children's dying with the COVIDs. And then there was a dude who got arrested at this January 6th rally, and the media omitted the fact that he legit is Antifa. And he had black box stuff, and he basically had a laminated card that said, "I'm Antifa." Don't let winter weather stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink canned espresso mocha drink. Made with coffee-forward flavors, premium ingredients, and 200 milligrams of caffeine per can, it's a convenient way to fuel your next mission. Black Rifle Coffee Company develops explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members serving this great nation and are committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee Company gives back. The best way to enjoy their freedom-filled coffee is with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, partner discounts, and more. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find out what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
The best way, the only way we can honor the death of Helena Hutchins is to find out the truth. That's what I'm working toward, insisting on, demanding that the organizations involved in this investigation do everything in their power, to find out what really happened. That's all that matters.
This is the
best way to honor the death of Helena Hutchins is to find out the truth.
That's Alec Baldwin. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. Alec Baldwin, who refused the subpoena to turn over his phone. He's like, go get a warrant, knowing that he's going to get preferential treatment as a celebrity, and they're not going to go do that probably. That's, what does that mean? I insisted, demanded. Those, all those words mean the same thing virtually in this context. He's just trying to fill, he doesn't have anything to say, but he's trying to look like he's engaged. So he comes and just says a bunch of synonyms and thinks that that's going to, oh, look, he said something. Yeah, he just said a bunch of words that mean the same thing. I insisted, I demanded, I asked for, shut up. You, like, he acts like he wasn't there. Dude, you shot and killed her. You know what happened already. You pointed a gun at her and pulled the trigger. You shot and killed her. This isn't, you know, a mystery. He's going to go find the real killer, Alec Baldwin. Him and OJ. They're going to go on the golf course and find the real killer. This, it's just, it's so, what a loon. What a loon. And then he went on this rant where he made it about Trump, and then he tried to analogize his shooting of another woman to January 6th and all kinds of weirdness. I loved Nick Cage's quote when he's, and we said this last week, I think it was on Friday, where he's like, yeah, if you're going to be an actor, you need to know how to work a gun. Especially if you're in films where there are guns. You need to know. This is basic stuff. I like Nick Cage. I just watched another movie of his. I can't remember what it was called, but it was done by the guy who did Tokyo Vampire Hotel, which is an insane film. Insane. This one was also insane. It's very, I don't know if avant-garde is the word I would use, but it's Nick Cage. So Nick Cage can do whatever Nick Cage wants. He's a Coppola. He can do whatever he wants to. Yeah, he is. You didn't know that? Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola is his uncle. He just changed his name to Nick Cage after, interestingly enough, I think Luke Cage. No joke. Go look it up. Fascinating stuff. I like him. I like Nick Cage. So this, I it's him just refusing all responsibility. And then his wife gets out there and posts photos of them, Christmas in Vermont and all this other stuff, just totally tone deaf stuff. This guy is so self-involved. So self-involved. Zero accountability. He refuses to be accountable. And then he acts like it's a mystery. He just doesn't know what happened. Dude, you were there. So coming up, lay of the land here. Give you what's on deck. Andrew McCabe, former disgraced number two at the FBI, wants the federal government to basically, not basically, but just to treat conservatives like domestic terrorists. We're going to discuss this. We'll also get into how PCR tests will show that you're positive for 12 weeks or longer if you have coronavirus. So why? It's all an absolute hot mess. We're going to talk about all of it, including Biden economy and then some foreign policy stuff. U.S.-Russia talks continue this week. Stick with us. A lot more to come next hour.
Do you know how many of the 836,000 deaths in the U.S. linked to COVID are from COVID, or how many are with COVID but they had other comorbidities? Do you have that breakdown?
Yes, of course. With Omicron, we're following that very carefully. Our death registry, of course, takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just been with us for a few weeks, but those data will be forthcoming.
Well, that's a huge thing that I think that should have been incorporated into all discussions on this from the beginning. Welcome to the second hour of the radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday. Starting the week out correctly. I'm your hostess, Dana Lash. Sign up for my Substack newsletter. And you can get it through danalash.com. All right, so that's a big thing. And kudos to Brett Baer for asking the CDC director that question. And that's what now they say they can't really actually tell how many were with and from. Because there is, as we discussed last hour, a major difference between logging a fatality from the virus as opposed to a fatality that, as she had said previously, all over 75% of the people had at least four comorbidities, and logging fatalities from the virus or people who have these other comorbidities, that ultimately that was their cause of death. They had the virus, but they had other comorbidities that were ultimately their cause of death. We should have had streamlined that before we began fear-mongering the entire world with inflated numbers on fatalities. And we know that they were inflated. I was just sharing with you last hour how in Minnesota they had to reduce their fatality rate by over 40%. Because what they had discovered is that there were other comorbidities that actually had contributed to said fatalities, and it wasn't the virus itself. There's a huge difference, and that's not being petty with semantics. That's science and fact. Good heavens. But this is why people don't trust these entities. And things are changing so much. So just to let you know, because I know all of you have seen this. If you've tried to go back to work after the holidays, you got kids going back to school, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you're traveling, whatever it is. For instance, so at my, you know, you do your well visits, right, every year at my doctor's office. They're like, well, if you've had, you know, any symptoms of the coronavirus, you need to make sure you've quarantined for 14 days. I'm like, that's not even the CDC position anymore. And then something else, like with our one of my kids' schools, they're like, oh, well, it's, you know, 10 days. What? There's so much discrepancies between, no one has a singular approach. That's not scientific. And I was explaining earlier how I actually canceled our summer vacation because our destination was like, we don't recognize natural immunity. And that's the big government thing. I mentioned this, and I think that this is an incredible point you need to consider. This is the first time in human history, it's the first time in science, where your own immune system isn't good enough. It is not validated unless it was something that was provoked by the government. The government has to give you immunity for your health. Your body is no longer capable of doing it. That's the message that they're sending. There are people who are so against individualism and they are so lost without the guiding hand of the government that now we don't even recognize science because it's not something controlled or orchestrated by government. It's just wild. Absolutely wild. And there's going to be this, there's going to be a continuance of, I think, this big struggle going forward with this. But Omicron, I was looking at, there's a good Forbes piece that discussed how really this could be the beginning of the end for all of this insanity. I mean, you can't really continue mandating this stuff when it's evident that the vaccine isn't preventing transmission. I mean, this is something that the CDC has discussed. People just need to get back to living their lives. I don't even think, I mean, it's at this point, it's a glorified cold. Why do you have to, you shouldn't have to report your health status 26 ways to Sunday. When I ordered the at-home test, in case we needed them, I ordered the Abbott ones. They wanted you to download this. I just looked online and found a video explaining, although I knew kind of how to do it anyway, because we had done, we'd had tests at an urgent care once, and you couldn't even, you know, register to get tests anywhere near here. There, it's like over 2 weeks booked, and at that point, it's past the quarantine, so it's pointless. But I ordered a couple in case that we would need them for college and school and all that stuff. And the Abbott ones that they sent, I kind of knew how to do it, but I wanted to make sure I was doing it correctly. I just looked for the video on YouTube because they wanted you to download this app where they were going to explain to you what to do, and then they were going to interpret the lines on the piece of paper for you because you're a moron. And I was like, I'm not downloading this because it's a way for them to track and log it, and I'm not doing this. I'm not going to assist in this ridiculousness. I'm not doing it. So I didn't report it. I didn't do any of that. It's a glorified call. Are we going to report every time you fart? Are you going to report it to the government? Oh my gosh, Uncle Sam, my body did this. What does that mean? Are you boosted? I'm boosted. That's not like common thing. People brag about it. Look at me. Have you noticed that? It's like branding now. People are like, I'm boosted. Talked about this last hour. My two friends who had that whole entire thread conversation. I'm boosted. Are you boosted? Did we almost get boosted at the same time? Double boost. Boost. So stupid. This is just, And then you have the Pope. Look, when I want to know about God stuff, maybe I'll ask Pope Francis. Actually, I won't. I'm not going to ask Pope Francis. If I want to know about how to bastardize the word of God, maybe I'll ask him. If I want to know about science, I'm surely not going to ask him. He's out there saying people need to not be swayed by baseless information and refusing shots. So you're telling me that they prevent transmission, Mr. Pope? Oh, they don't? Who asked you? I don't remember asking you. Did you just volunteer? Is that a freebie for everybody? It's like getting the YouTube album on your new phone. Now, have you noticed that people's language are starting to change, though? You have Boris Johnson, even the Biden administration, that are saying, well, we have to learn how to live with this. And the reason that they're saying this, honestly, is because they see the writing on the wall. They really do. They see the writing on the wall. They know about it. They realize the polling hurts. So they're you can't lock everything down again. I think everybody had it. I think Kane and Juan are like the only people who have not had it at this point. I don't know how. You think you might have had it?
Yeah, but it was in 2019.
I think that's something that you're telling yourself to make yourself feel tough.
Was that what you think, Dr. Lash?
Yes, that's correct.
But I think I did in late 2019. I don't know if you remember, but I'm rarely, if ever, sick, right? And I was out those 5 days. Remember when you're making fun of me because I thought it was so chilly in the studio?
Mm-hmm.
It was that week where I thought I ended up having it, because when I went to the doctor and they tested me literally for every virus that they know, from West Nile to, you know, you name it, flu, it all came back negative, and they didn't know what virus I had at that time.
Telling you. I don't know. Maybe. It's at this point, if you get it, it's just you're going to have a sniffle for like 5 seconds and then it'll be over. I mean, honestly, that's really where we're going to. Oof. All right, a few other things here, because we've been talking about a lot of different stuff as it relates to the Rona and Wu flu and testing, and golly, it's never ending. But a few things here. So, do I want to do the wokery? I'm trying to figure out if I want to do the wokery or not yet. Let me pull this up. Because I saw this over the weekend. I apparently closed down my rundown. So, good heavens, because does it take forever to open? Jiminy Christmas. It does. So, I saw this. This had to do with American Airlines. There was outrage after American Airlines. This chick has since she's privatized her account, which good, because her tweet was stupid and I'm tired of this stuff. So this chick tweeted to American Airlines. Oh, I think she actually also blocked me. Whatever. So she tweeted American Airlines. Her name's, unfortunately, we share a first name. Her name's Dana Finley Morrison. And she took a picture of this pilot who had a Let's Go Brandon little tag on his suitcase. And she tweeted out, this was on the 8th. She tweeted out, "Hey, American Air, y'all cool with your pilots displaying this kind of cowardly rhetoric on their crew luggage when they're in uniform about to fly a plane? We are not the only passengers who net us, and we are disgusted. Today in UVF, about to board to Miami." And then she was trying to flex. She was sharing her DMs with American Airlines and saying that as an elite status member, and pulling that stupid card. And so there were a bunch of people who actually had retweeted it. And we were all saying that, we're also elite. I'm also an elite status member. And I want to know, I'm so excited that this guy's flying planes and I hope he's my pilot someday. You realize, though, and I made mention of this, that they had allowed previously the crew to wear BLM pins on their uniforms. So why are you having your menstrual cycle over them allowing this pilot to have a Let's Go Brandon tag on his suitcase? Like, what the hell is wrong with people? I've seen two things so far. So this chick is tattling on this pilot, and this bratty white chick who's shut up. I'm an elite. She actually tweeted that as an elite status member and credit card holder, excuse me, we all have credit cards, you stupid Karen. I'm an elite status member too. How much you want to bet I beat you? I'm platinum. What are you? And she's like, it's so disappointing you can't provide a public position because they fly planes, Cynthia. That's what. Jiminy. And they allow BLM pins. Can you fly a plane? Gosh, I hate this. It's like the snitch brigade. It really is. This is so Orwellian. There was a thing over the weekend. This one woman was spying on the phone screen of a woman sitting in front of her. And the woman sitting in front of her said, yeah, we're going back early. We have COVID, and that's why we're on the plane. Don't tell anyone. She took a screenshot of this woman's phone and posted it on social media. Because people are insufferable. Mind your damn business. If you're scared of life, stay home. Quit making everyone else have to suffer through your neurosis. We're all tired of it. You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. trial. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Superbeats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This New York City apartment fire is just awful. I don't know if you've been following this story, but Politico has a body count. 19 fatalities, including 9 children. It is awful. A malfunctioning space heater sparked this fire. It filled a Bronx apartment building with thick smoke, killed 19 people, 9 kids. Oh my gosh, people were trapped in their apartments. They were breaking windows for air, putting wet towels under their door. Oh my goodness, just awful. And some could not, they said it was unprecedented. Some could not escape, obviously. Just horrific. That's just so awful. Oh my goodness. And I was looking at this. I accidentally closed this because I'm a genius. But yeah, 19. That's the latest count. Moving on. I got a few others here. As soon as it decides to open, because I keep closing it like a genius. By the way, I came like a genius. Need to keep this button away from me. I know. Goodness. This Whole Foods says that they have a constitutional right to disallow BLM masks. U.S. Labor Board prosecutors are trying to violate Whole Foods Market's copyright and constitutional rights by forcing it to let employees wear masks at work that have those words on them, Black Lives Matter. This is what the subsidiary claims. It was a December 17th filing with the NLRB, and they said that Whole Foods denied the agency general counsel's allegations that the company violated federal labor law, and which it is a private business, and they can direct what, you know, how American Airlines was allowing pins. Okay, so they can do, although, you know, we had taxpayer dollars go there, so it's a little bit different, but you understand where I'm going. So they're battling this out. I just think, why wear masks at all anyway? Because it doesn't work. A blood-soaked clown holding a knife was spotted on Google Maps. Of course it was. And it's terrifying. It was in I don't know if it's blood-soaked, but it definitely is a knife-wielding clown. It actually looks like a poster in somebody's window. But they timed the photo to show a horrific scene of this guy brandishing a bloody knife just as the Google Maps camera van drove by. People do this a lot with Google Maps, which is kind of funny. I don't know. Americans adopted millions of dogs during the pandemic. Now, what do we do with them? Said stupid MSN. You keep them and you take care of them because you're not a monster serial killer. Maybe, right? Just saying. That seems like a good enough. That seems like a good explanation. So coming up, a couple of things. We got gender stuff, wokery, and the latest with PCR. Ooh, and something this editorial I was telling you about. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's the Dana Show.
This is about racism. This is about exclusion. This is about not wanting us to be able to participate in the policies that govern this country. Many people don't know what we're talking about when we keep saying the democracy is at stake.
This is what happens when you give your aunt, your great aunt, too much tequila rose at the Christmas party. That's what happens. Then she starts talking this mess. Welcome back. That was Maxine Waters. I am Dr. Lash.
starts talking this trash. Yeah. She's been talking that mess for a long time.
She has been. Oh, it's Monday. We're all together. And I was playing that clip of Elmo screaming at Zoe about that pet rock for Kane and Steve and Juan on break. And the reason I did that, okay, so you got, yes, I'm on prednisone. I had the Rona. Now I have cabin fever, and I feel wild. I feel feral. I actually feel straight up feral right now. Just in the first 5 minutes of this radio program alone, we hit three topics that killed all three of these gentlemen here. So, and that's a new record for me. I got to top it. The year's just started, Kane. Just started, my friend. So Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo is going to hold a news conference at 2 p.m. She's raising Harris County, Texas's COVID-19 alert level to red, its highest level. They said outbreaks are present and worsening. Public health capacity is strained or exceeded. You can't scare people anymore. Stop it. I mean, you have a crazy homeless situation. You've got crime in Harris County because Austin. And nobody, this is a glorified cold. I know because I had it. I'm an expert. I'm not just a member. I'm the president. Stop it. It's level Elmo. It's level Elmo. That's of the Rona threat. Just stop it. Stop it. Are you going to do this every single time somebody's got the sniffles? Nobody believes you if you're always freaking out. I can't stand when people always freak out. I can't deal with it. This is always free. People are always freaking out over this. Guys, it is now level red. That's so arbitrary. Why? What is the what? First off, what's the severity of the symptom? What wave are you even talking about? Apparently, it's not serious enough for Biden to stop the stranglehold on monoclonal antibody treatments, which, by the way, don't even work on the latest variant. It works on Delta, but apparently it doesn't work on Omicron. You know why?
Because it's mild. Is it because it's a mild?
And there's only like 10 fatalities.
But are you boosted?
I'm boosted. I feel like that's somebody begging to get slapped when they say that now, right? Stop it. Are you boosted? I'm boosted. So stupid. Can't even deal with this. But she's raising the level. Are you scared, Kane? Everybody crap your pants because the level's red.
We talked about this in the late summer, in the fall last year.
That's the red level red alarm.
We talked about this. We know they can't look at the death numbers because those aren't alarming enough. They have to look at case numbers because that's the only way they can. Would you stop?
It's the level red alarm.
I know, and I want them to stop it. I want them to stop it now. But the case numbers with Omicron are, it doesn't matter what the number is. It's just, yes, people get colds. People get sick in the wintertime. It's kind of the way it's been going for years and years, decades and decades.
It's just, oh, man. It's level red. I love these, like, judges. Judges, you're a judge. Stick with the law and stuff, which apparently I don't know that either. Good heavens. Guys, it's level red. Everyone has the sniffles. Got to lock down the country. I don't know. I'm telling you what. This all is so insane. So, you have what? Everything's backwards. People are mad if you don't wear masks, but if you commit armed robbery in New York, that's a misdemeanor. Because now they're reducing the crimes of, right? New York just goes, hey, criminals, do you want to do the crimes? Come here. But don't leave your house unless you're boosted and you have five masks on.
It's what they're doing. It's the real thing.
So that's true, though. I have that in here. Where's my headline? I got that in here somewhere. Where and then if you don't even live here legally, you can vote. Why the hell even pay taxes at all in New York? Thank you. By the way, if you can commit, let me put this up because I want to get this story up. This is so, I don't know why people even stay in New York. Now they're going to make it to where, what is it? The Manhattan DA downgraded armed robbery to a misdemeanor. armed robbery. Armed robbery. Now, here's the thing. Do you realize that if you forge your COVID papers for your vax pass, that's like a felony because it's considered a government document that you committed fraud with? You can, that's a felony. But hey, if you have a gun and you rob someone, that's okay. It's a misdemeanor. Dude, that's crazy. This is, nothing makes sense. Are we in like a Lovecraft, like a quasi Lovecraft sort of life now? That's where it feels like. Feels like that. For real, though.
Just Democrat controlled administration.
Yeah. The Manhattan DA reduced it to a misdemeanor. There's so much crime. You know how we can lower the crime? Not prosecuting it. That's what happened at Parkland. Remember Robert Runcie, the superintendent of the Parkland schools? Remember when he was like, we have so many students committing actual felonies. How are we going to deal with this? I know. Let's not count the crimes anymore. Look, I reduced it. Why don't you just not count coronavirus cases to reduce the coronavirus rate? Oh, I'm bested. Boost that. This whole thing. Oh, my gosh. But that's a legitimate thing. I don't know if you're aware of that. That is in New York, there's so much crime. Literally, that's their approach. Is to just reduce it to a misdemeanor. And that was a memo that the New York Post had. Let me pull this up. Alvin Bragg. What a last name. He's not going to seek prison sentences in a ton of different criminal cases. So he sent this memo out last week, right? They're not going to, unless it's a homicide or something. Yeah, that's it. They said they have a holistic analysis of the facts. That's actually in the memo. So they sat down with a patchouli stick, breathed the incense, and analyzed the facts. F-A-C-K-S. Facts. I'm sure that's going to make crime go down. So they literally, the memo, it had instructions for people to reduce charges, for prosecutors to reduce charges filed by cops in armed robbery, basically any kind of gun charge. But if you forge a vax pass, that's a felony. Still, oh, no, don't mess with that. Are you boosted? I'm sorry. In order to eat at the TGI Fridays, you have to show us your vax pass. But I have natural immunity. Doesn't matter. Did you get your shots? Did you get boosted? No, I already had it. I got over. I got natural immunity. That doesn't count. Natural immunity only comes from Uncle Sam. Oh my gosh. Did you see how backwards this is? Good heavens. That's where we're at. Everything's upside down and backwards. I knew this was going to come at some point. So apparently, I'm going to get some of the wokery here because nothing makes sense anymore. And we got to get to some of the Biden economy as well. By the way, did you see the thread that Ryan Sabatera had started? And then people began hashtagging Bear Shelves Biden. And people all over the country were sharing photos of their empty store shelves. Whew. And it was bad. It was really bad. There were, empty store shelves all over the place because of the Biden economy. The milk, for instance, the shelves of milk at a store in Seattle, Washington, pretty much empty except for the Silk stuff because no one wants that crap. First off, that's soy is just beta juice. Soy milk is beta juice. And I'm not a squirrel, so I don't drink no like almond milk or pecan milk or whatever milk. That's bad. That's dumb. I'm not a squirrel. It's what squirrels drink. It's true. And then you see this everywhere. I just like to order my stuff at this point and be done with it. But we had the jobs numbers last week that were horrible. And then in the used car market, the would-be buyers are aghast at what inflation has done to used car prices. They're saying like now it's like $20,000 for a halfway decent used car. That's crazy. But hey, what do you think was going to happen? What did they think was going to happen with this? But the administration had put out a graph talking about creating the most monthly jobs ever, and he was excoriated for it. They said Biden, under his economy, has created more jobs per month than any other president ever. The White House tweeted this from its official account Friday, and it was not right. He was trying to say that he was better than Trump, and they were blasted over it because it was not correct. It's silly and not at all. Even the Washington Post fact checked it. They said that you're comparing monthly job growth of 4 and 8 year terms with just 1 year of Biden. And then, of course, they tried to soften the blow by saying, well, Trump tried to do the same thing, except he actually didn't. That's like was really measurable within a 1 year period. That's what happens when unleashing the private sector does. So we have a number of other things to hit, and then we're going to get to some foreign policy stuff. If you get the email newsletter this morning, I told you one of the things that you need to look at are these ongoing, might not be on your radar as much as some of these domestic issues, but you need to keep an eye on it because it's the ongoing discussion between United States diplomats now and Russia's diplomats. You had the initial phone call between Biden and Putin, and now the diplomats are going to duke it out this week. One of the things that they were able to agree on, apparently, earlier this afternoon, was that they're not going to engage in nuclear warfare. Oh, that's good. That makes this all feel better. But to see what we're going to get, they're trying to ask Russia to reduce aggression towards Ukraine, because as you know, just last week, Russia sent paratroopers into Kazakhstan, a former Soviet republic, to try to quell some of the protests there. And the protests were against the Kremlin toady that they have in government. And so Putin sent those over, and they apparently greenlit use of deadly force to do so. And there are fatalities in these protests now. So they're not coming out and saying that Russia did it, but you know.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, I love this headline so much. A Florida man pretended to be Matt Damon at Disney World, and all these people came up to him and were asking to take photos with him. Now, I looked at this dude. He does not actually look like Matt Damon. I mean, he does, but it's like you can tell it's not Matt Damon. But it's funny because he was at he was a Florida man at Disney California. And then he was at Walt Disney World. He's done this at Disney California. He's done it at Walt Disney World. He goes around and apparently like takes pictures with people. They think he's Matt Damon. And he literally wears a T-shirt of Matt Damon while telling people that he's Matt Damon. Not making this up. It's a tank top. Yeah. First off, he's a dude in Matt Damon, to quote a Team America World Police. There's this account called Gratuitous Disney Memes, and they said, dude really believes that he looks like Matt Damon. He walks around in a Matt Damon tank top, and then pictures are like, oh my gosh, that is Matt Damon. Because, of course, Matt Damon would walk around in a tank top of himself, tell people he's Matt Damon, and take pictures of him. Nobody knows really anything about this dude, except that he likes to visit Walt Disney World and pretend to be Matt Damon. That's a real thing. It's up at insidethemagic.net. I promise you. I swear it's a real story because nobody's going to believe me. But I swear it's real. Kane found it. I swear. A Florida man was rescued after getting stuck inside of a chimney of a home he was trying to burglarize. This took place in Maryland, but it was a Florida man who did it. Fire crews had to rescue the man Saturday morning. This was over the weekend. He was trying to rob the home, and he got stuck And they're like, we don't know how he got stuck. Probably because he was too big to fit through the fireplace, the chute or whatever, the chimney. So they actually had to remove the wall and bricks around the chimney. They had to put a huge hole in these people's wall because the stupid burglar, he got stuck trying to rob their damn house. And they had to get him out of the... Man, can you imagine the smell if they just let him stay in there?
It has happened before,
actually. I can't even believe... I don't mean to bring that up in meanly. It just was a weird, you know. Let's see. A Florida woman... This is not a good bride. This is Inside Edition. An unlucky bride passed out, and then her nephew pooped on her wedding dress.
Oh.
Oh, man. It started out in Florida and then went downhill. Florida woman, Holly Kalinda, she passed right out in the middle of her ceremony. Her groom caught her, and then when she came to, she threw up on the side of the gazebo, and then her nephew crawled up there somehow and pooped on her wedding dress, all literally within the same 10 minutes. What a horrible ceremony.
She was meant to be married.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my heavens. That's just not... no. And I got a couple of things. There was a guy who used all of his coronavirus relief money to buy a Louis Vuitton. This is the second story that I have of this. No joke. Yeah, he stole it and then purchased luxury items. Boy, don't you feel confident that the government tracks our money? Stay with us.
Well, first, I just want to reframe this a little bit about Justice Sotomayor, because while, you know, she may not be accurate for current hospitalizations in children, she is correct that we have more children in the hospital now more than ever before. And it certainly reflects the current cases in children. Right now, we have 82,843 children sick with COVID, more than 1,000 children
have died from
the virus.
Because, again, that's why you had the whole Walensky audio of with, not from. And that was one of the topics that came up. When you look at hospitalizations of children, and remember, this is something that the Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins actually fact-checked when the CDC tried pushing this nonsense last time. They said every single one of those cases, without exception, had a serious comorbidity. And by serious comorbidity, like leukemia, a number had leukemia. That's pretty serious. Welcome back to the show. Third hour of our radio program. Always good to be with you. That's Sunny Hostin. I love people who overpronunciate things because it's a virtue signal. So that's not how facts work. She can't be wrong on the facts and also right on the facts. Are you boosted? Did you get your booster? I actually had a friend jokingly text me. But are you boosted, though? Like, as a joke. But are you boosted? She's still wrong on the facts. Washington Post even fact-checked this and said, actually, no, it's technically still not even correct that it's more at this time and with this particular variant. One of the other things that you also need to consider is the RSV. I guess you could say that it could be an epidemic of RSV. And our kids' immune systems are knocked down to the point where they're, like, negligible at this, you know. It's when you prevent... any kind of socialization, especially with kids whose immune systems are still developing, you actually make it worse for them when you do reintroduce socialization. And so now you have all these schools. What is it? Now we had problems with mail being delivered. Now schools are being closed down. You don't have no food on the shelves. Holy hell. Are we in Venezuela? Goodness. Yeah, but facts, though. It's not how facts work. Kane, are you boosted? Did you get your booster?
I'm boosted.
Yay. Sorry. The ivermectin side effect.
I mean, if we go back to 2017 and look at the flu data, just on flu.
I'm sorry. Did you say data? We're working on feelings here, sir.
Oh, sorry. But I'm going to throw data in there anyway. Mm-hmm. 41 million flu-related illnesses, 19 million flu-related medical visits, 710,000 flu-related hospitalizations, and 52,000 flu-related deaths. That was just 2017. And by the way, kids were affected more heavily by flu than they ever have been by COVID. So whatever, you know, not so Sunny Hostin was talking about is not accurate.
You saying she's unsunny?
Yes.
Cloudy even?
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say cloudy is probably more accurate. Cloudy Hostin? Sounds
honestly
good.
That's actually kind of a cool name.
It is. Cloudy Hostin.
Unintentionally, we just made that cool. Are you boosted, though? Are you boosted? I'm going to have some segments of my Facebook friends and family angry because I will not stop making fun of it. But it still deserves to be made fun of. We actually had people who were like, we're not going to be friends with you anymore because you don't get injected. We've actually had people say that. And I'm like, well, then you weren't friends in the first place. I think everybody's had gone there. All of this is based on propaganda, the mass formation psychosis, which is a real thing. By the way, for all the people in the media that are telling you that the whole mass formation psychosis is fake, I will have you remember the story that came out. Was it The Independent? It's a British paper where all these British scientists were like, yeah, we actually did use fear. It was sad. We're sorry. That's a thing. I'll put that in your email. That's a thing that happened. It is a legitimate thing that actually happened. Mm-mm. A study used to justify UK school mask rules fails to prove that they work. So when my oldest son went back to college, the college reinstituted their mask mandate for right now up until, I think, February. Even though the face panties don't work. They don't work. And he's recovered, so he's immune. He's had it, and he's immune now. But your immunity, my immunity doesn't work if your immunity isn't covered by a face mask. UK government said that students in secondary school, which is their middle and high school, they have to wear face coverings to stop the spread of the variant of Omicron, even though they've had research that showed that they came out with, they published it in October 2021. I mean, there's too many things here to list. There's so much research that they did. They said that they didn't do a damn thing. Long story short, none of it worked. This is over at New York Post. The review was made public by the UK Department for Education. Oh, look at that. And even though they could not prove at all whatsoever that none of these masks work, they just go, well, there's some statistical uncertainty. Literally, they acknowledge that the use of masks could harm learning. That's the only thing. They surveyed students and over 80% of students said that they had found it difficult to communicate with teachers in the classroom. Another survey from April 2021, 94% of teachers said face coverings made communication with their students harder. It's not fit for purpose. That's ultimately what the results of these studies about these face panties with schools are. It's not fit for purpose. Basically, this is how you got to look at Omicron. Or really now this virus is that you have a new upper respiratory virus that is around. That's it. It's just like all the other upper respiratory viruses. So take your vitamin D, take your zinc, be healthy, get 8 hours of sleep, wash your hands. I mean, and don't cough on people. And if you're sick, stay the hell home, right? People keep asking about fevers with Omicron. I didn't have a fever. No one in my family had a fever. Everybody that I talked to, and I knew a ton of people that had this variant over the break, nobody had fevers. Now maybe this changed in the last week, but when I was looking at this a week ago, that wasn't even considered one of the symptoms. It wasn't even listed as a top symptom for this variant. In fact, I think flu-rona thing that they had, the only reason that they were suggested and did a flu test on the dude the Florida guy who had flu rona was because there was a presence of a fever, and so they were like, maybe we should test for flu, and he had flu, he had the presence of two viruses. The way that they presented is that there's like one mutated super virus, and there's not. Stop. These facts are important because we're harming our kids. So my oldest one, now in college, he's got to wear the face mask in classrooms. One of his professors made them wear face shields and the mask. My son was like, I'm just going to sit in my dorm room and do this because this is so stupid. He was like, my face is sweating. It was one of those face masks where they had the styrofoam headband. And then they had the mat, and then, oh my gosh. I went and looked up the voting record for that teacher. Guess how they voted? Oh, I am that mom. Mm-mm-mm. So, what we know now what we've known, let me rephrase that, what we've known for the past 2 years and what the CDC is now acknowledging, things that you used to get suspended on social media for, the overwhelming number of fatalities, over 75% occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. The face panties don't work. And the masks, yeah, the masks don't work. And the CDC director does not know how many COVID fatalities were from COVID versus with COVID. They don't know. Which seems pretty important considering that you're making policy on that number. That seems significant. Seems like you would want to know that. Or be accurate about it. Control or mitigating? Good heavens. It's, who knows? A couple of other things. I wanted to change this and get into some wokery here too, because we're going to be talking about foreign policy here coming up. So this came from NBC News. This is not going to surprise you. Trans women, meaning men who want to identify as women, retain an athletic edge even a year after hormone therapy. We know that. And then this, now I had wondered before, first off, I'm waiting for the woke scolds to come for I'm waiting for them to come for Spanish language and French and so many other Latin-based languages. Because of the la, le, the male and female, masculine, feminine, you know, nouns, etc. I'm waiting for that to happen. They've already come because I've said, when are they going to come for ballet? Now, I studied classical ballet for just about 17 years. And I was reading this piece about wokery and tutus because we don't have enough problems on our planet. Top ballerinas say they're keen to ditch the traditional skirts. They said it's physically and artistically restrictive. What? That's so stupid. Gender neutral costumes. That's what they want. I think that's heinous. Ballet is one of the few disciplines that celebrates strictly the female form. Everything is designed to celebrate female form. Anyone who says tutus are restrictive is a moron. I love tutus. The reason why you have leotards cut the way they are and the reason why the tutus are the way they are is so that your hips can work, because so much of ballet is about what your hips can and cannot do as much as your legs and your feet and your ankles, your turnout, right? And the reason that they're set up high like that is so that you can do all of that without restriction. That's the whole thing. And so now if you're wearing a traditional, and a tutu is not technically a skirt. If you're wearing a full, like, ballroom, excuse me, type skirt, which I think with some of the productions, I think in some of the Swan Lake productions, they will have fuller skirts like that. I can see how that would be restrictive. But the traditional tutu is not. So now they're like, oh, we want to move away from this and we want more masculine things. We see dudes on stage already anyway. I don't know why I don't like gender neutral stage wear in ballet, because it makes everyone look the same and it robs the appreciation of the female form. That's why there are the point shoes, because it's all about elongating the leg, elongating the line. It is about the lines of the body, the position of the body, the silhouette. That's how you view it. It is about appreciation of what the human body can do, specifically females. That is what it's about. And now they're coming for that artistic expression. It is a war on art. It is a war on expression. And it's further disenfranchisement of women.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Why is this a new thing? It's presented as such. Gravitational forces of the sun and moon impact behavior of all organisms, even humans. Today in obvious studies, that's new. A farmer gave his cows VR headsets to reduce anxiety and increase milk production. So there's like a headset over each of the cow's eyes. So, and he is from Turkey. He said that it makes the cows happier and that happy cows make more milk. And so apparently they see visions of the outside world. He says they watch green pastures and it gives them an emotional boost and they're less stressed. Does that... Really, he said that he previously used classical music But the headsets have worked so well, he's buying 10 more of them. Right?
Is it that difficult to just send them out to pasture once a day?
I don't know. He's in Turkey, so I don't know what's going on. Wow. But yeah, apparently. Okay. Well, good for him. But speaking of Turkey, they changed their name to better reflect their culture and values. What did they change it to? So, not that big of a change. They when English spelling is used, it's still basically Turkey. It's T-U-R-K-I-Y-E instead of T-U-R-K-E-Y. What? So Erdogan issued a circular saying that they're changing the name, apparently. So, and they even changed it on their website. Okay. Well, there you go. China says its lunar lander has found evidence of water of the moon and of water on the moon, and no one believes them because it's China. No one believes that they even made it up there. No one believes a single thing that they said. YouTube removes a music video critical of Biden's failed Afghanistan withdrawal. So it's the John Ondrasik, the Blood on My Hands video. They took it down over violations of their graphic content policy, which is a bunch of garbage. They said it was a graphic warning, even though there wasn't like graphic stuff that he used in it. They just got, because it's censorship. It's federal government pressing on private social media platforms to censor speech. Anybody who's critical of King Joe Biden, apparently. That's actual censorship. A top Iranian general vows revenge inside of the U.S. because Soleimani got pulverized. Oh, here's the thing. For every one person of ours you kill, we'll kill 50 of yours. How about that? I'm totally fine with that. That's FAFO, right? So Stephen Yates is going to join us. He's going to break down all the latest that we can expect this week with these completely worthless talks that we're supposed to be having with Russia. Stick with us.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
We've been working in tremendous collaboration with European partners and allies and beyond. To make it very clear that there will be massive consequences for Russia if it renews its aggression, by which I mean economic, financial, and other consequences, as well as NATO almost certainly having to reinforce its positions on its eastern flank near Russia, as well as continuing to provide defensive assistance to Ukraine.
Well, that's Anthony Blinken, and no one believes that either. Welcome back to the show, danalash.com. Sign up for the newsletter. As I was saying a little earlier, the discussions between diplomats ongoing, now that we had the initial call between Biden and Putin out of that, now we got that out of the way. Now the diplomats get to slap it out or not over the next week. And I think the only thing that they came to agreement on, it's like watching the March of the Ents, but with less respectable characters. And actually, it's nothing like that. Never mind. It just takes a long time. But they've agreed that nuclear warfare is off the table. Tiny claps for that. But what else? I mean, what about getting Putin to back off Ukraine or maybe stop sending paratroopers into the former Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan, where apparently they greenlit use of fatal force to quell any kind of protest against the Kremlin toady that they have in power there. For this, and of course, for headlines on China and more, we go to our good friend whom we haven't seen in a while. It's a new year, new him, Stephen Yates, foreign policy expert from the Bush administration. And you can follow him on Twitter at YatesCom. Stephen, always good to see you. Hope you had a wonderful new year. Thank you for joining us this glorious Monday. I got to get your thoughts initially on these ongoing diplomatic discussions between the United States and Russia. I don't think we're going to get anything this week.
I'm right there with you, Dana, but you know how much I love Europe and diplomats and all that they do together. They really just are the foundation on which the world turns round. Right? We really, I think, have been so stuck in allowing kind of this elitist Eurocentric clique of people to just bog us down in endless distraction and resources getting sunk into the old continent. And I think it's come at the expense of really emerging challenges that come from other parts of the world that we often talk about. But Russia definitely is keeping itself quite busy, making the world less safe for everybody else. The developments in Kazakhstan are just par for the course. Lots of resources are at stake, which is also kind of an issue with Ukraine, too. But these are far away places, and we have to have a serious conversation as Americans with Americans, and then as Americans with the old continent of Europe about this is where we're going to focus, this is where our resources are going to go. But you guys in Europe, with a collective economy 12 times the size of Russia, you got to get your own collective stuff in order and take care of these things. It's not like we want to be indifferent, but you guys have really got to step it up and do more on your own. And it's only if they show seriousness will Putin stand up and pay attention. We know that he's not waiting for the Biden administration to stand up and do anything meaningful. And even America right now is in such a period of malaise, as I guess people have come back to saying, that they're looking really to Europe first. And if they stay asleep and under-resourced, well, then Putin's got to go.
Yeah, it definitely. And I think that's really ultimately, talking with our friend Stephen Yates, foreign policy expert at Yates Comms on Twitter, I think that's really, it's very incremental. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, because it seems like the goal, if I were Putin, I would want to do everything I could to chip away at the perception of power projected by the West through the unity of these European nations with the United States and Australia, et cetera. And so far, he seems to be incredibly successful at doing that, whether it's using energy or a number of other things. And that if they can maintain that, then that's a huge victory, I think, for him.
It is. I mean, he sees, I think, social vulnerability and division. I think he sees security vulnerability and division. And there's a lot of simple things that we could be doing that we just, for whatever reason, our politics don't let us get to the point of trying to get smart about them. I mean, I'm a tech geek. I'm not disinterested in electronic vehicles. I just don't think that they need to solve the world. But what a stupid thing to commit to if all the parts for batteries that we have to rely upon are in these parts of the world that the authoritarians are locking up for themselves right now. So, I mean, you can talk about wanting to save the planet, but you're literally leaving it into the control of these bad folks. So your solutions aren't met up with realities of supply chains and all of that. So you have such a sort of a reawakening that we need to have. And so for the tyrants, it's easy. They bash people's heads, they take their resources, and they push for advantage. They don't really have to be moral about it. And so I'm hopeful that I think a realignment in America is underway. I think that the policies of the last administration that focused more on America first for kind of realigning what a purpose of our alliances are and the balance of responsibilities, that was a really good down payment. We've got to get back to seeing that through. So, I mean, the Secretary of State talking about NATO, I don't think since shivers up anybody's timbers in Russia. And so we have to get NATO and Europe itself more self-invested and really more capable of doing what it needs to do.
We're talking with Stephen Yates. And Stephen, on your timeline, you had retweeted this. I thought it was a great remark from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, kind of switching focus from one tyrant to another, from Russia to China. And he was talking about the CCP stealing American technology, which they've done for such a long time without any accountability. And he called them a threat to the semiconductor supply chain, which they are. He's investing funds, he says, to increase microchips and semiconductor manufacturing in Florida so that the supply chain, as you just mentioned, cannot be held hostage by the CCP. This is smart. And this is something our president, honestly, should be saying. And yet he's not. Why?
Well, I think that we know why the president isn't saying things, because I think there's some synapses that are not connecting in that Borg that trying to speak in clear sentences and clear policy. And so, unfortunately, as a nation, we're stuck for a time. We're going to need chief executives in the states to step up and be smart and strategic if we can't rely on federal leadership to do that. I think it's really very, very important when we look at supply chains. I think post-COVID, a lot of people have taken a wake-up call about we can't afford to be vulnerable on anything from protective gear and prescriptions to technology and supply chains. And even as I said, if you're one of the worshipers of the sun god and you want to save the planet, you got to have a clean supply chain for batteries. And so you got to have all of these things. And so I congratulate Governor DeSantis and any other governor that wants to step up in a serious way to say, hey, bring the technology, bring the manufacturing. We'll have a sane, free regulatory environment to bring the jobs, bring the technology. But basically, we're not going to allow our population in the most advanced, freest country in the world, at least until recently, to be held back by dependence on a Communist Party supply chain or energy from other parts of the world.
And Stephen, too, I was reading this last week, I think it was Thursday when I was looking at this, because you and I have talked about Belt and Road Initiative before with China. And when you look at the expansion that China has undertaken, looking at rare earth elements, etc., I was reading a couple of stories that were citing new contracts that Latin American countries had signed with China. But this is tech. Looking at expanding, I guess, their broadband and any other kind of tech resources. It's basically Belt and Road Initiative without it being called that, right on America's doorstep. What can you tell us about this, and what is the best way to counter that growing influence in Latin America? Because China's, very much looking to get a greater foothold there.
Yeah, that's part of a long-standing narrative that's been out there about China having somewhat a creeping authoritarian or mercenary type influence in our own hemisphere. Of course, post 9/11, we were somewhat distracted, maybe with just cause, to look at Iran and terrorist networks and narco trafficking and things like that, all of which I care about too. But China kind of crept into that mix. And a lot of that was more on the heavy manufacturing side of things. They might build a stadium or a hospital or a school or a road or something like that. And it would get some goodwill and have some jobs. But that's kind of what Belt and Road and what things in Latin America had been. And so that would have some competition with American influence. The difference with tech is actually multifold. Number one, China exports the means of authoritarianism, monitoring, and control when it does these kinds of things. It gets massive metadata and maybe even more specific data on users around the world, which it can use for all kinds of creepy things. But it also is exporting the means for governments and corporations to control people also. The second thing it does is it really changes the orientation of the supply chain away from America and more towards Asia. And so I'm much, much more in favor of trying to onshore a lot of our investment and shipping from China to emerging markets and parts of our own hemisphere. That may take time and expense, but we should recognize that the world's globalists and global welfare programs gave hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, to build up China's infrastructure to have this slave labor platform that we rely upon now.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point indeed. Last quick thing. Turkey changed their name because literally, according to reporting, they changed their name from Turkey to Turkey. They added an I and switched the spots of Y and E. And they said it was because when you Google Turkey, the bird comes up. That honestly, I swear to you, hands to sky, that is one of the reasons that they gave. I just think that maybe they got bigger problems.
Well, I'm going to walk right into this. I know I'm going to get some flack for the way I talk about such things, but I'll remind people that I am one of those rare bilingual folks that was born in America and does speak fluently another language. At the same time, Americans are not super great about adopting fancy ways of pronouncing other countries' names. And even when we have experiments, I think we talked about before, about Burma and Myanmar, and people sort of get kind of whipsawed about, you know, what country are we talking about here? And I don't think a lot of Americans wake up in the morning wondering about the country of Turkey. In fact, I think if we did a jaywalking segment and asked 10 people coming down the road, what is Turkey? 0 out of 10 would suggest it's a country, and they would think it's a lunch meat. And so there's not really going to be, I think, success in this great propaganda and PR coup of changing an umlaut or some other kind of mark on the name of a country that is in a faraway place. I think they'd be far better off trying to settle what the heck is going on with inflation, corruption, and other problems in their own country, and maybe be a good ally to the continent in which they reside.
There you go, right there. Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter. Always good to see you, my friend. Happy New Year. So good to see you this new year. Thank you.
Happy 22. Thank you, Dana.
Yes, sir.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
So over 75%, according to the CDC, of people who died of COVID, had four more comorbidities. Nearly 80% of people who were hospitalized with COVID were overweight or obese. And what did we do? We locked down the country. We said you can't go to gyms. Kids can't go to schools. It's illegal if you leave your house. That's what we did. That's how we responded. Tell me how that's following science. It's rhetorical because it's not. Live your life. Make your own risk assessment. I believe in you, even if the government doesn't. Goodness. DanaLash.com. I'll be on Fox's primetime this evening, hosted by Jesse Waters, who's going to be the permanent host. I texted him earlier and I was like, oh, heard the news. Congrats. Switching up their timeline. Switching up some of their programming. So congrats to him. I'll be on in the 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern hour. I have no idea about what yet, but I'll let you know on Facebook so you can follow along there. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter as well, because we send all kinds of stuff out and you don't want to miss any of that information, because you get my show prep too as well. You'll get my show prep. The couple things here. All this. The testing, the PCR, the antigen. You know, the CDC is saying you don't even have to test anymore to come out of isolation. It's because you can still test on the PCR stuff. You can test positive for up to 12 weeks. So now they're not. For all the people who are required to get tests to go back to school or work or whatever, what the hell? What if you're traveling and you test positive? You can still test positive up to 12 weeks after. What if you're traveling? None of this makes sense. But I want you to notice how before break, you had the administration that was talking about maybe, you know, how it was still, or maybe, well, it was Feinstein and Biden wasn't, Jen Psaki wasn't disagreeing with it during the White House press conferences. But they went from going, maybe you're going to have a vax pass for domestic flights. That's on the table. Everything's on the table. To now, no, you don't even have to get tested anymore to leave isolation. Just go. That tells you where the sentiment of the country is, Kane.
And tell me that midterms are coming up without telling me that midterms are
right?
coming up.
Right? Oh, my gosh. So their midterm platform was, parents, you're stupid. You don't get to have anything to do with your kids. Forever virus. Yeah. Corona forever. Yeah. That shut. You can't have anything on your supermarket shelves. Everything's gone. Supply chain. Yay. But you just want your exercise bike, right? Or your treadmill. All of this stuff. Look at that. That's a great campaign platform for them. That's going to serve them really well. Not. Mm-hmm. Hey, because I had ivermectin. Today's stupidity came.
Thank you, Dr. Dana. This one is from Nancy Pelosi. Boy, she says a lot of dumb stuff, but this one's
You're not a fan?
I'm not a fan. This one's pretty par for the course with some of this.
What they are doing, and you pointed out very clearly, and I thank you for that, that they are not only suppressing the vote, they are nullifying elections, saying, well, it doesn't matter who gets more votes, it matters who the three people we appoint to.
And again, tell me you're scared about fair elections without saying you're scared of fair elections.
Yeah, exactly. That's so ridiculous. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Back with you tomorrow behind the mic. I'll be on Fox tonight.